one that was suggested by Sali Shlita. It's the topic of chumras. Chumras refer to stringency that a person would like to accept upon himself. And the question, of course, is what is the place of chumras in halacha? And how do I go about each one of us individually, collectively, Klal Yisrael, in dealing with the issue of chumras? In order to address the issue, I more or less jotted out for myself seven major headings that I would like to deal with, probably each one of them quite briefly, given the constraints of time. But I'll begin by first referring to Hakdama of Hagoyne Moshe Feinstein, to his rather massive collection of Shelos and Tshuvos, Igros Moshe. He writes in Hakdama the following. First, he speaks of famous Gemara in Seita. The Gemara speaks about two types of Talmid Chachamim. One, Shehigia Lahura, one who's capable of paskening and doesn't paskin. And the other one, Shelo Higia Lahura, who's not capable of paskening and paskins. You have two different types of Talmid Chachamim. And he points out the discrepancy between the Doros HaRishonim and the Doros HaAchronim. Clearly, we're nowhere near the level, the Madrega that was achieved by the Rishonim. But at the end of the day, all of us have to be mechavim to them, as we have to try to, essentially, to the extent that we can, ferret out what the halacha is based on our examination of the sugyos and shas that are relevant to this particular area, and learn the Rishonim and the Achronim, and as a result, come to conclusions. And he points out the famous Gemara in Shabbos that a person is going to receive a tremendous star, even if the individual perhaps may be presenting a position which is a minority position and not the position that's represented by Rogue Dali itself. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Rav Kuf Lamin, there was a city that passed like Avaloza. I'm not going to go into the details. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a star. They had longevity. And even when the Roman government issued Xeris against Klal Yisrael, against Mila, that city was not included in the Xeris because they followed Asel Harav. That was the goal of that city. And even though his talk was not accepted by Rogue Dali Aposki, without getting into the details right now. So Rav Moshe says in the Tshuva over here in Hakdama to his Igros Moshe, that's the derech of Masa Umata, namely that each person or each Rav examines the Sugya and often will come to different conclusions based on their examination of the Sugya and the Rishonim and the Achronim who write about the Sugya. And then he writes that this is the derech of derech HaTorah, that each one has to examine as best he can the particular sugyas and come to whatever maskana they come to. And then he says, and this is really amazing, how Rav Moshe Feinstein that Sal Meirov and Bisanusa, Meirov Anova, from the unbelievable modesty that this individual possessed. You can really say about him, Ra'ish Moshe, Onam Moed, Nikola, Onam Mashiach, Pnei Adama. So he writes over here, based on that, I felt that I should paskin Halacha l'maisa, people ask me shailas, and I'm trying my best to ferret out what the psak is, and based on that, I come to the maskana. And then he writes, even though he says, I am not royu l'kach, and even though I don't have the requisite chachma that's required, that's necessary in order to paskin shailas, but what I can do is try my best. And we're talking about someone who knew literally kol ha-Torah kula, backwards and forwards. And this is what he writes over here. Mind boggling. And you have to do with Amala and Yigia, try to be Mavar the Halacha. And then at the end, he said the following, that whoever wants to disagree with him, let him just go through all the sugyas and shas that are relevant, and examine all the Rishonim and the Achronim, as he did. And if you wish, you can argue with him, if you disagree with him. And that's an amazing approach to Psak Halacha that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes here in his Hakdama. And what is fascinating is that you see that here is one of the giants of the last generation with unbelievable anova, but obviously emboldened to issue Piskei Halacha in literally every single area of Kol HaTorah Kula. I want to just mention a second nekuda, which I think is also a very significant nekuda. There's no way that a person is going to paskin Halacha based on simply examining the Shulchan Aruch. And unquestionably, we're talking about someone Shehigia Lahorah. But there's no way you can be Magia L'Horah without examining the Sugyos and Shas. That's basically what Moshe Feinstein in this Hakdama is writing. And the truth of the matter is that you probably know that traditionally the curriculum of yeshiva is to not really study Psak Halacha. And for a number of reasons, I would imagine, and the primary reason being that there's no question that a person cannot possibly come to Psak Halacha without first understanding the Sugas and Shas. And that means Lombis. Without Lombis, there's no way a person could possibly issue any Psak Halacha that has any sound foundation whatsoever. Because all Psak Halacha ultimately is based on the Sugas and Shas, and the Rishonim and Achronim who examine that sugya, and we have to know what the underlying svaras are in order to be able to pask in a shaila. So even though there are places, including some places that I'm familiar with, that learn Shulchan Aruch, so if you just learn the Shulchan Aruch itself, that will leave a lot to be desired. If you learn the Tur, which has basically a more or less a sikkum of all the sugyas in Shas, that will make things much easier. Because what the Tur does, the Tur Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef say, they basically review the entire sugyas in Shas with the requisite Rishonim and the like, and then they bring you to Psak Halacha, and that already is a much more, much a proper way of learning Halacha. And there's no question, I want to read the following Marsha in Masechta Seita Daf Chavez Amud Aleph. Marsha writes, he says, he's talking about his generations. When the Marsha lived? 700 years ago. So he writes that those who render Halacha decisions based on the Shulchan Aruch, but don't know the reasons underlying every point, because they didn't examine carefully all the sugyos and shas, he calls them mivalei olam, destroyers of the world. They're not going to be able to issue a psak halacha which has any foundation, which has any basis to it. And therefore they should be given musar, the mashar rights. However, later on, we have the Pesachei Truah Yerdeya, the Reish Membeis. He cites the mashar, and then he says he lived much later. And he writes that today we have the Taz, we have the Shach, we have the Magen Avraham, and therefore we should base our decisions on the Shulchan Aruch, because all of these individuals obviously went through the sugyos and shas. And I would even add to this, of course, he didn't live in the days of Mishnah Berurah, but we have Mishnah Berurah today, who also clearly went through shas and the Rishonim and the Achronim. And on that basis, that's how we come to Maskana regarding Pesachei Halacha in terms of Shulchan Aruch. And there are many stories, but I'm not going to really go through stories that I actually went to look for today. But more or less, they all represent the same yisod, the same idea, and we understand very well that this is something that a person, I think it's fundamental, it's like aleph beis, before a person issues a psak halacha, and I'll eventually get to the topic, don't worry about it. I'm just giving away a preamble, which I think is very important. There's a sefer, which I happen to be very fond of. There was a great gadol here in Yerushalayim. His name was Avshalom Yosef Zevin, and he actually wrote many, many svarim. He was a Lubavitcher Chassid, but from the Amolaga Lubavitcher Chassid, who knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart. He's one of the authors of the Encyclopedia Talmudic. If you look in the back of the Mishmedrish, those yellow svarim, those yellow volumes, approximately, by now there must be 24, 25 volumes. So he authored it. He essentially was the main author. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula, was Shredit Bakol. He also wrote many other svarim of his own, including svarim that are kedai for you to be aware of. In one of his svarim, he actually has vignettes of great building Yisrael. It's called Ishim B'Shitot. Personalities of Gadol Yisrael and their positions on different issues. And what he does is he takes each particular Gadol. I'm going to mention Rav Chaim Brisker in a second. It's one of the Gadolim that he talks about in his Sefer. He has other Gadolim as well, as you can imagine. And more or less what he tries to show is what is his approach, as he approaches issues, and what is his unique contribution. So for example, he gives many examples he gives. And one of the examples he gives, a famous example, which of course you're probably familiar with, it's Chazav Kiveg, also Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch actually Archaim. It's a very significant shaila in the Reis Tzadik Dalet in Rav Kiveg, and Shulchan Aruch Archaim, because the following question. Let's say a person on Matzoy Shabbos, for whatever reason, didn't say the Shemoneh Esrei on Matzoy Shabbos. You fell asleep, something happened, there was some onays, whatever the situation was. So it didn't call Tashulman, that's the Gemara in the fourth paragraph of Brachos. You have a chance to be mashed in the Shemoneh Esrei, which you didn't say. But the question is now, which Manasseh should I say Atok HaNatonu in? Should I say Atok HaNatonu in the second Shmanasseh I'm going to say? Let's say Sunday morning I'm going to daven twice. I'm going to daven two Shmanassehs. I should say Shmanasseh in the second, the Atok HaNatonu in the second Shmanasseh. That would seem to be, if you'd ask me, that's what I would tell you. That seems to be the logical position, because that's a Shmanasseh that is what? The Tashlumen. That I'm being mashed in the Tefillah that I missed. I didn't daven last night on Sunday Shabbos. I didn't daven virus. Now I'm going to daven two shacharisim on Sunday morning. So in the second tefillah, which is Tashulman, I'm going to daven Adam and Atom. So that would seem to be the simple svar al pi pshat. And Rav Chaim Briska has a famous chakira. He wants to know, what is the din of atuch al tanur? Is it halacha in the tashlumin, or is it halacha in the first minutes? I say after Shabbos, that's what I have to say atuch al tanur. Okay, I'm not going to go into all the details, but this is a classic example of, and you, Baruch Hashem, have some connection to Brisk a little bit. and so this is an example of where lumbus becomes very significant in terms of understanding how to get the psak halacha. There are many, many, there are thousands of examples of such chakiras and the like we have to be aware of in order to get the psak halacha. All this was by way of a little bit of an introduction to the topic which I'm going to discuss momentarily, which is the issue of chumros. That's the topic that I was asked to discuss. I do want to mention one other vignette, if I may, and that vignette I heard from Agoin Maren Rabbeinu Maran Harav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik, once Avraham Soloveitchik, Agoin Avraham Soloveitchik, when he built the yeshiva in Chicago called Brisk, which is unfortunately no longer Pakistan, but when he first started the yeshiva, so he came once to Boston to a convention of Rabbonim, which I was present at, and Rav Soloveitchik said a shiur in Yiddish, and his brother was sitting there. And apparently I gathered after a bit of discussion with some other Rabbonim that the purpose of that shiur was to raise money for the yeshiva Brisk in Chicago for the Rabbonim who came to this convention. There were several hundred Rabbonim actually at this convention, and the Rav said a shiur by way of preamble to this, what he was going to present his brother. And then at the end of the shiur, he then indicated what his intention was. And then he said he, on the smicha klaf that he signs, to young men who are getting smicha, he signs the smicha klaf in the following way. Yosef Dov, Ben, Moron, Hagon, Hachosid, Moshe, Halevi, Soloveitchik, Zetzuka, La La La. That's how he signs the smicha klaf. So then the Rav proceeded to say the following. Moron, that's the first term that he used. Moron means our master, Nishto, not here. Ve'az given Moron, who was Moron? Mein Vater, my father was Moron, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Goin, so we assume right away, who's going to be the Goin? The Goin is going to be his brother, who's sitting right there. He said, name. Goin was given my brother, was given our professor of chemistry. He had a brother, Ashuel, who was a professor of chemistry. El's given our Goin. He was a Goin. I know, I had him for chemistry. Anyway, so, I won't say any more. Anyway, so he was an absolute Goin, not just in chemistry, but a Goin in learning. And he was nifter, unfortunately, a relatively young man. Chosid! My brother Abraham was a zitzto. This is my brother who sits over here. That everything he does is lifnim b'shur asadim. Because essentially his entire life is what? Molei chumrus. Abraham Soloveitchik, anyone who knew him, knew that is a correct statement. His chumrus were unbelievable. Some of the most famous, I don't think it's, this particular one I'm about to mention is not really as famous as others. He introduced in Chutz Laaretz the concept of Yosha, which of course is an Eretz Yisrael. Is that a Chumrah? Mr. Brewer tumult on this issue, you probably know. It's a pasuk, a Chumrah, don't let anyone fool you. V'lechem v'kolim v'chayim v'lo sochlo, aletza v'yom hazeh, ala v'yachem v'skobar v'lokeichem, chukas olam v'losechem v'chol v'shvaseichem. Mr. Brewer tumult, and Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, what's the heter meaning in Chutz Laaretz, non-Yoshan products. I'm not getting into that. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to wait on Motzei Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik waited a bit of time, Motzei Shabbos. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik waited over 110 minutes. He had all kinds of chishubim and cheshbainim based on ga'inim and this and that and what have you. And I can give you a long list of chumis of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. But Rav Soloveitchik, his brother, his older brother, there's a 15 to 18 year difference between the two brothers. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was a Talmud of his brother, as well as of their father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Everything he does is a nimishur asadeh, means his life is malei chumrus. So now I wish to begin, and the initial discussion about chumrus is going to be based on Perek Chof in Pesilas Hashor, which I assume you are familiar with. It's a perek called Mishkal HaChasidus. Very, very famous perek, and very important perek. And I could not find, I now see in front of me, there's a Pesilas Hashor. Maybe I'm not. It was here before. But anyway, so I used one that had many pages to it. I don't know why I had to Xerox all the pages. And then I realized there's a parish that someone wrote on it for each five lines, another parish. I only realized that after I came out finished it. I knew it was not that long, but I discovered unbelievable things over here. Now, what I'm going to do is, before I do that, before I read to you from the Mishpah Hasidus, which is very relevant, I just want to mention something which you are aware of, that I'm not telling you in the Kiddushin. In one area of halacha, you probably know, in specific Yom Tov, many, many people are machmir, and it's called by the poskim Chumrah, the Pischa. There is such a notion, namely when it comes to Pesach, people are very machmir. I imagine you're aware of that. The Mishabruah quotes it, it's called Chumrah the Pischa, the Chumrah of Pesach. Now, why should we machmir dafka and cover Pesach, let's say, not cover Pesach, but in Yom Pesach, more so than we're machmir, Kol HaShana Kulam, there's a very famous comment in the Meshech Chochma al Torah. The Meshech Chochma says that because, what are we commemorating? The Gula from Mitzrayim, we were released from Egypt, and you know why we were released from Egypt? Because we wanted to go beyond the letter of the law. You're familiar with this concept, I'm going to get to it in a little while, in Hashem. There's something called the letter of the law, something called the spirit of the law, correct? I assume you're familiar with it, based on Ramban and Chumash. I'll get to that in a few moments. But the Meshech Chochma says the reason why on Pesach Dafka we are machmir, because there we went beyond the letter of the law. And the reason for that is because, as you know, we were in Memtesh HaRitumah, in Mitzrayim, we were in a very difficult situation, and Hashem had to literally pull us out of the Mitzrayim. We could have, Rahman al-Lisan, had we reigned there a bit longer, we would have been in the quagmire of Egypt. And it would have been, our situation would have been, with no way to escape. Hashem saw how we were so Medakte, to safeguard our Masorah. If you remember, Shiloshinu at Shemom, Esloshonam, do you call that? Beginning of Shemos. We didn't change our names, Ruben, Yitnas, Ruben, Yotza. We didn't change our language, Yisus, Baglash, and HaKodesh. We didn't change our begodim, our clothing, v'chulam, 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 because we were so steadfast in Halacha, beyond the letter of the law. Therefore, says the Meshech Chochma, that's why we have what's called Chumah the Pischa. And I just want to point out to you, and this already is now mentioned, by the Nesias Hashoram in this sefer, I'm going to give you the two examples he mentions. And the Mishkal Chassidus chapter, Perachov of Chassidus, that's one of the levels, as you know, mentioned by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So he gives two examples. One example he gives us, a famous example, the Gemara says, An Bisanuso Shel Rapschayim and Akulas was responsible for the Churban HaMikdash. You remember that? Sugin Gittin, I'll just summarize it, you're probably familiar with it. The Gemara says that there was a sheep that was sent by the Roman king, but it was with a moon. It had a blemish in it. And it was sent to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chachamim wanted it to be permitted to be offered up on the Mizbeach. Why? Because they were frightened. If they weren't going to do it, there would be dissension and there would be a lot of divisiveness with the Roman Empire, and that could be a sakon of a klal yisrael. Even though there was a blemish. The Gemara says that a blemish that, for us, is considered to be a blemish, mum shabayin, and for the goyim is not called to be a blemish. From their perspective, that's not considered to be a mum al pi halacha. So then the Gemara says that Rav Chaim ben Avkulas protested. He said that chas v'sholom, if we sacrifice this sheep that had a blemish, that would be, in effect, doing what to the halacha? Altering the halacha. And Rahman al-Litzana could have unbelievable consequences. So this allowed, this whole story was, of course, activated by Bar Kamtza. If you remember that whole story with Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, he's the one who activated this story. And as a result, the Jews were slandered, and the Jews were seen as insulting the Melech, the Roman emperor, because we obviously refused to accept that karban. And the Gemara says that Ad Bisanusu Shrapshaim and Akulas, Echribas Beseino, what did it lead to? It led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Not just destruction of Beis HaMikdash, but Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael, going into Golos. And this is mentioned here by the Mesias HaShoyim, by the Ramchal. And this is one example that the Ramchal gives where there was an error. Even though one might argue that this is Dibri Chassidus, that what he did was obviously, he felt that that's the din. We have no right to go ahead and change the halacha. In any way, do something. And he writes, his lashon is, Abayis Hashemi Gamuchar La'idei Chassidus Tazeh, Ashalom Nishkal B'Mishkal Tzedek. That means it was not carefully examined, carefully weighed, B'Maisa D'Gabbah Kamtzer. He quotes this whole story. Chacham wanted to remarket the carbon. It's Gemara Gittin Daf Nudvam Amad Aleph. Amad Rav Shaim Ben Akulas, Yorba Bali Mub and Kerem L'Gabi Mizbeach. They'll say that, what are we doing? We're bringing up animals with a mum. Some of the Mikdalei, they wanted to go ahead and take care and eliminate the person who, shall we say, was involved here, named the Bakamta. What, you'll then come to another maskana. that someone who causes a mum is supposed to be killed. Benkach or Benkach, Holach Eisei Russia. That's what Messias Hashem says. That Russia by Kamsa went. Vehilshin Es Yisrael, Boa Kesar, came the Roman Caesar, Vehechu Bushalai. Who Mash Omer Abiechana? And the Sanusu Shachai Ben Akulis, Hechivus Beseinu, Sabres Echaleinu, Vehiglisanu Ben Umas. Just let me finish, if you don't mind. So here says the Messias Hashem, so clearly something was amiss in his decision. He made a mistake, even though it was based on Minas Chasidus. Second example, given by Ramchal, also here in the same parak of Mishkan Chasidus. An example he gives now is the example of, it's also a famous example. You remember Tzom Gedalia? You're familiar with Tzom Gedalia, perhaps you're not as familiar with the background of Tzom Gedalia, but the Navi tells us that Tzom Gedalia, that he was murdered, this Gedalia ben Achikam, and Yirmiyahu writes over there, Yirmiyahu takes him to task, says in the pasuk, the Ramchal calls it, it's called Pigrei Ha'anashim Asher Hikam Yad Gedalio, that he talks about people who were killed by Gedalia. Of course, Gedalia was a great tzaddik, didn't kill Jews, but it's considered as if he killed Jews. Why? Because when he was warned that someone was coming to assassinate him, he refused to accept it, what was considered to be Lashon Hara. But what does the Gemara say? If such news, Gemara Nida, Gemara says, if such news is enunciated, what do you have to do? You have to be Cheshesh, at least begin to worry that maybe there might be some truth to this. But he was such a tzaddik, he closed his ears to all the slanderous reports, and as a result, when they proved to be correct, he was held accountable, and there's a churban wrought by a chumrah that the Gemara describes here of Gedalia ben Achika. So he quotes this as well. And many people were killed, and you know what happened again in the Churban HaMikdash. Now, I just want to, again, just point this out, because this is an entire chapter from the Seir Sosharim devoted to what he calls Mishkal HaChasidus. How do you translate that? He says here, balance. Before you go ahead and do something, it has to be balanced. Balance is fundamental. And here he quotes two examples in Chazal, Rav Chaim ben Akulis, what I mentioned a second ago, and now Gedalia ben Achikam, were essentially prompted by Yetzer Hara that describes averes as mitzvahs. And thinks that if you are a machmir, you are a chassid. And this chassidus in both areas led to terrible tragedy, led to korban. So now, I want to give you a few examples before I get into the discussion. I don't really have enough time to do a proper analysis of this matter, but I do plan on next 20, 25 minutes. No, I like to try to do things if I can, since I spent all afternoon at this, examining the matter. So let me just give you a few examples. Someone calls you up, this happens quite often in my life, and they ask me about a certain Talmud in our yeshiva. I'm talking about a few years after the Talmud has already gone through the portals of our yeshiva, usually it's for Shiduchim. Let's say I'm aware of a serious problem this Talmud has. Let's assume I'm still in contact with him and I know he still has this issue. But because it's Shmiras HaLoshen, I'm not going to mention. What would I call that type of person? I'm referring to myself. Assuming the issue was Shiduchim, and assuming I was aware of the information, a Chassid Shoyte. The Gemara says, what is a Chassid Shoyte? Someone who sees a woman drowning and says, Nigiya! I can't. I'm a lifeguard, a certified lifeguard. I'd rather she has to go, and he's Kadil, he's Kadil, Shmei Rabbo. I call that a Chassid Shoyte. The same example I'm applying to you here as well. Chassid Shoyte. Why I'm worried about Shmiras HaLoshen. I learn Shmiras HaLoshen to my left every morning with one of the beautiful Avreichim in our yeshiva, in the Gus Kadil. I can't say a word. I'm not allowed to talk. That's a Chassid Shoyte. There's a Yalkut Shemini in Kohelis. It says, "Ein ben Gehenim leGan Eden, elo kechut asayra." Isn't that interesting? What's the distinction between Gehenim and Gan Eden? Echut asayra. How do you translate that? One thread, a strand. How do we get on the path to Gan Eden? The answer is, we have to take out the Mishkal Hasidus. And this I heard from Agoyin, Baragom Akoyin Pam Zatzal many years ago. We have to somehow try to find the balance between the different extremes and try to find the median kind of position, one which is obviously within the halachic framework, and unquestionably, you have to measure the relative importance of things before doing something that affects others. I'm going to give you a few other examples. Many of them I heard from Agoin or Apam Zatzal many decades ago, but they ring in my ear, actually, to a large extent. A bachur comes home, the Ben Azmanim, and his mother asks for help. And he says to her, Help! Bittul Torah! I have a chavrusa now! I can't help you. Who is right? So the Bachar clearly wants to do Ratzon Hashem. But some screws are loose. He doesn't have the Mishkal HaChasidus. He doesn't have this way of balancing, shall we say, that which he should balance. There's a story I saw in the name of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky that he relates how the greatest masmid of our generation, Rabbi Chazon Ish, maybe the greatest masmid, that he was totally submersed in Torah. He would go to visit his aged mother every single day. And Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky says that the Chazon Ish spent over an hour visiting his mother on a daily basis, and it wasn't an easy route, but apparently he felt that was not Bittul Torah, nor did he feel it was a Bittul Zman, and that's part of the Mishkal Hasidus that here Mesillas Yesharim speaks about. If you recall, last night I mentioned this, which I think is also relevant, when Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to meet his, go ahead and redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can I go? Maybe my older brother Aaron is going to be hurt because I was chosen rather than him. So Hashem told him, don't worry, Aaron won't mind. Beracha v'samach b'libo. You recall I mentioned that last night. Aaron will be happy, Aaron will be v'simcha. He'll understand exactly what's going on. So why didn't Hashem say, what didn't Hashem say? Hashem did say that this wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's concern, but that Aaron is just one person. So why do you take into account his sensitivities when we're talking about an entire nation of Klal Yisrael, an entire people who have to be redeemed, who have to undergo geula? Well, why should we be so concerned about that? The answer is no. That even at such climactic historic moments when the geula of Klal Yisrael is at stake, you have to worry about the sensibilities and sensitivities of each individual. That's what one sees. And again, as I said, there's a famous story, I heard it from also my Rabbeim. I may have heard this from Rabbi Mendel Zaks, the son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, whom I was zoicha to meet many, many times. In Yeshivas HaBeit Yisrael Chaim, of all places, he was the Berchei, the YU. He used to give them chinus. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart. I once asked him about Rashi, Dibur HaYomim, and I prepared the Rashi carefully. I probably spent 2 weeks preparing that Rashi, and then after I said over the Rashi to him, I was in high school, he then corrected me on the Rashi Dibur HaYomim, which he knew by heart. He knew everything by heart. Anyway, so Mendel Zak said over that arriving home on Leil Shabbos, the Chofetz Chaim made Kiddush before singing Shalom Aleichem. So, how could you make Kiddush before you sing Shalom Aleichem? So he said, because he brought Orchim, there were guests who came to his home, and the Chofetz Chaim said, the Malachim came out, the angels could wait, but an Oreach shouldn't have to wait. And apparently he sang the Shalom Aleichem in the middle of the meal, in the middle of the Suda. That's what Rabbi Mendel Zaks said over. And there's a famous psak of the Chofetz Chaim as well. The first night of Sukkot, you know the Gemara in Sukkot, so you're familiar with the Ritva, the Rishonim, and the Mechaber, you learned Masech HaSukkot last year, if I'm not mistaken. So on the first night of Sukkot, there's a din, that since the mitzvah to eat the Sukkot is the Isa, so what do you have to do according to the Chofetz Chaim? You have to wait till Chatzos. You really have to wait till Chatzos Laila in order to eat in the first night of Sukkot. It's based on Rishonim in Masech HaSukkot. But let's say there are Orchim, then that halacha is suspended due to a greater mandate, namely, you have to concern yourselves with the Oreach's rumbling stomach, if I can use such terminology. That's more significant. But basically, and now I'll give you another psak I heard from Apam, that's Al also, a psak that I'm very fond of. Let's say a person is Davish Manasseh, there's someone behind me. So what's the din? Someone's behind me, you're not allowed to go back. That's a din, that's a gemara. It's a din of Shulchan Aruch. But let's say the person behind you is getting, is davening a very, very long shvat asay, and you're getting annoyed. You means the one in front of the person behind you. You're within Dal Ramas. So Apam Paskin Lalocha, that you should quicken your pace. Quicken your pace of Shemot Esrei in order to be mischashev with the person behind you. Okay, so why am I telling you all these stories in the introduction to the main topic, which is the issue of chumras? Or maybe you want to call it frumkeit. That's probably a better term. Frumkeit. Many, many people, especially those who are young, are very into frumkeit. And frumkeit, of course, is very significant. But in order to practice frumkeit, there are two things that are necessary. One which is necessary is what I call knowledge, extensive knowledge of sugyos and shas and Gdolei HaPoskim in that particular area. And ideally it should be in Kol HaTorah Kula. But let's assume in that particular area you do have the requisite knowledge in order to be machmir. But you also have to have, as I said, mishkal hachasidus. You have to know how to make evaluations that are of a balanced nature. That's exactly what this whole perek in Mesillas Yesharim is all about. And that's not a simple matter. They tell over that someone told Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that although his workplace was open on Purim, but he would call in sick. Why? Because he wanted to observe the mitzvah yom in the proper kind of way. There are many mitzvahs on Purim, as you know. So that's Purim. Shachmanos, Matos, Yodim, of course, the most important mitzvah. Chai Yodim, Rib Sumni, Bipuraya, Adelo Yodim, Nor Hong, Baruch Mordechai. The mitzvah of getting intoxicated. That's the Isa. Probably more than the Isa. But whatever the case is, so he said, I'm going to call him sick in order that I should be able to observe the mitzvah yom. That's what Abiyah Kamenetsky. Abiyah Kamenetsky was absolutely shocked. He said, what? That all these mitzvahs that you described are the Rabbanan. The mitzvah saying sheker is an Isa Isa. There's a lack of Mishkal HaChasidus. A lack of ability to evaluate properly different, shall we say, different stud. There are many such examples, and the reason why I mention these examples is because, again, as I said, I'll mention something else which I heard from many, many Gdolei Yisrael, Rav Nissim Halpern Zatzal, and Hagoyin, Rav Avigdor Lebensohn Shrita, Sheibadol Chaim Aruchim, that they told me that when I was in Ovel, my parents, so I was very, very emotional. I didn't want to miss any Kaddish, any davening for the Amid. I'm very, very knocked on that. There were times I was on planes, and I may have mentioned one or two stories in that regard, regarding that matter. It's all emotional. It has nothing to do with halacha, but that's the way I was. And even now, my father's yahrzeit is l'chodesh Shadar, and I'm already shaking, even though it's another 2 weeks or so. And my meaning is to be knowing both Adars, when Hashanah Mubaris, even though it's my cousin Chavir Amor, most people are knowing one Adar, but the Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, I'm knowing two Adars. But whatever the case is, so they told me the following. The most important thing that I should be cognizant of is don't make machloikas. And it's easy to make machloikas, trust me. They thought that was a bigger chumrah than all the other chumras that I would take upon myself, not to create machloikas. Let's say someone else wants to daven with the other. And let's say you are even a more of a chiyuv, he has some yahrzeit of his great uncle, or maybe yahrzeit for his cat. He also made an upsharinish for his cat, so now he's got yahrzeit for his cat. And so he wants to say kaddish. I'm being a little cute. So, and obviously you are the real chiyuv. We all have the whole discussion, who's the real chiyuv, who's not the real chiyuv, etc., etc. But if you're going to create machloikes, Rahman Litzan, it will be disastrous. So he writes the Magen Avraham, mainly is kaitit. Don't get into machlokes when it comes to kiyum mitzvah, especially with reference to this. The biggest chus for your father's neshama, your mother's neshama, is that never arguing over the omer during the year they were chiyuvim. I heard Bavaram Lechassin Tatzal, Mareinu Rabbeinu, and I also heard from Hagoyin, Rav Hershel Shrefter Shita, Sheibadol Chaim Arukin. They both told me they followed the psak, that only one person should say kaddish, and that's another discussion. That's what the briskers are very makbid about, based on Achreinim. And if one person is saying Kaddish, they will not say Kaddish. So they almost went, both of them, when they were available for their fathers and mothers, almost a year without saying Kaddish. I could not handle it. Gabe, I just couldn't do it. I would be an emotional wreck. But they are committed to Aloha. And therefore they know the din, and the way they understand the din, most shuls don't have that. Everyone says Kaddish because people are very emotional about it and just get bent out of shape. And as a result, they have to go ahead and say Kaddish and they have to daven with the Amid. It doesn't make a difference what the case is. But the fact of the matter is that this is exactly what we are talking about in terms of Chumras. Now I want to get into more details regarding this matter. Maybe I'll just mention one or two more things that are also, I wrote down actually here for myself, that I heard the story from Hagoyin Levin Sol Shlita. He told me that his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach Zatzal, that he once on Shabbos, he noticed that a father and son were coming to him. The father was carrying a chair, and the son walked empty-handed. So he was a little taken aback. Why is the father slept in the chair and the son is empty-handed? So they explained to him, because the son was machmir not to use the Erev. As you know, there are many people, the Shabur says that he speaks of someone who's a very pious person, is machmir. So that's why he couldn't help his father. Rav Shlomo Zalman went livid, went absolutely berserk with anger at this, and he devoted an entire shmooze, he said, in the yeshiva, also sichad in the yeshiva, to this wandering, how for the sake of a chumrah, a son could trample on what mitzvah say? Keep it away, but you're machme on your father's, shall we say, on his cheshbon. You accept this kind of a chumrah. And so Mishkal HaChassidus means that sometimes you look beyond the black and the white, there may be a clear delineation in halacha, but you have to have abyssal seichel. That's what Mishkal HaChassidus teaches you. Seichel. Many people do not have seichel. I once heard Alfa Rishik say, he said about a certain goyin, he says, he's a goyin in Kol HaTorah Kula, but he's an Amoritz. So I said, how could you be a goyin in Kol HaTorah Kula and be an Amoritz? I used to love Mishkal Seichel. He's a goyin, but he's an Amoritz in Kol HaTorah Kula. So you've never zeichet to seichel to Mishkal HaChassidus that the Chassidus Sharm talks about. Could Rachman al Litzan be such a situation? There's a famous Rab Nochemke, who's the Rebbe of the Chavetz Chaim. Rab Nochemke be Harodna. You probably know of him. Rabbi Olsher mentions him every mitzvah and domestik. You are familiar? It's me.
I don't know. He
joined like the Malachim Persons. He's also a great good and tzaddik. But Rab Nochemke be Harodna, the Rebbe of the Chavetz Chaim. So, came this man from Lokas Ner Chanukah, and his wife had not yet come home. He waited for his wife to come home and did not like the fi minakag ro, which is at Shkia. I am machmir sheba machmirin to light dafka at Shkia minakag ro. Now let's say, Rachman al-Litzan, my wife would not to be home. Would I wait? Jacob, would I wait? Not even a millisecond. I can't violate minakag ro. That's what I've done my entire life. How is it possible to violate Minigah Gro? Rav Nochemke Harodna, who was, I am not even a fly to be stepped on compared to him. He waited for his wife to come home. Ma'ab Shad. Should he be Machmel Adi Gro? Sali? Correct. Ehot Ka'at Asach Seichel. Because Shalom Bais is Deuche, the Minigah Gro. Ehot Ha'maisa. See? Rav Fikato. Shiva. Hope he does a Shiva one day, Mitz Hashem. So you can learn a lot of Torah, do a lot of mitzvahs, and yet when you get to the Bezen Shalmala, what will you do? The presents of Yvonne Shalom, all your chumras! Wow, look at my tzetel, look at my long list of all the things I'll become upon myself. And then they will ask you, were you as careful about the feelings of your wife as you were careful about all your chumras? That says, Abchaim Vital. The top of every HaKadosh. Did you acquire the Mishkal HaChassidus? And especially people who go around boasting. I once was driving to Memphis, Tennessee. And there were no ways at that time. Ways was not existing. And of course I got lost. And then after a while I ran out of gas, and I ended up in a town called Braggadocio, Arkansas. I'm not exaggerating. Braggadocio, Arkansas. I come into this town, which is a one street town, like a main street, which has a store, like you call it a makolet, a gas station, and one or two other things there. I come to the gas station, the guy looks at me and says, "What's that beanie on your head?" That's what he called it. I was thunderstruck. So I told him, I'm a member of the Jewish faith. And then he said to me, "What's that?" I was flipping out. But he never heard of Jews. He literally did not ever hear of Jews. So I was debating with myself, should I give him now a lecture on Judaism?
Where is she?
I don't think he was of our faith by any means. And then I proceeded to give him a mini lecture on Judaism, which took about a half hour.
Was this Geyer?
I say this story because the town is called Braggadocio, Arkansas. Braggadocio is the word of the Oxford Dictionary. You know what that means, Braggadocio? Think of the word to brag, gaiva, and that. So if a person accepts chumras, that's fine. Our salvation had many, many chumras. I can't begin to tell you all the chumras he had. How many times he fasted? None of them knew anything about it. Not a soul. Everything was done, shtilah hate, under the table, under the radar. Many chumras. There's nothing wrong with accepting chumras. But before you accept the chumra, first observe the basic halacha. And now I'm going to read the end of the Sefer Shor, Mishkan Chasidus. That's what he discussed it. Do you observe the etzem hamitzvah properly? Or do you just want to have the chumras? If you do that, according to my humble opinion, he doesn't say this. You know what you are like until the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Nezem zohov be'af chazir. Like a swine, otherwise known as a PIG, wearing a bracelet on his snout, on his nostrils. So you got a beautiful bracelet, but what are you? A swine! Chumras, chumras, chumras. But the basic thing, you're not the kain. But you got chumras. Look, Almighty, look at all my chumras. Ashrei mi shebo lekan, you violate Kobi's Shabbatayla, but chumras miyadi! So I think one can accept chumras, but one has to do so only if one is royal kach. One has to know which chumra to accept, which not to accept. Asay l'charav, one has to ask the Rebbe, ask the Adam Godel, ask HaGoyin HaRav David Miller Shlita, ask HaGoyin HaRav Bednar Shlita, ask the Goyin HaRav Daniel Mann Shlita, HaGoyin HaRav Mann, HaGoyin HaRav Silverman, HaRav Eliyav Silverman. You can ask the other Rav Silverman too. He's a member of our yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. There is an element of something which is good when it comes to chumrah, but there's something called the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So now can I just say one or two more things about that? The Ramban of Chumash in Kedoshim, a famous Ramban, you probably know the Ramban, one of the most famous Rambans of our Torah. Has Ramban interpreted the Pasuk Kedoshim to you? Rashi says, Pushim and Harayas, separate yourself from Harayas. How did Rashi translate like that? Because the juxtaposition to the previous Pasha that talks about Harayas. There are two Pashas of Chumash, right, that talk about Harayas. One Achremas, one Kedoshim. In one, the law is stated, the other, the ownership is stated. They're very similar. They're very fascinating. A lot of areas of what seem to be tautology between the two parshas that need to be examined. But anyway, the Ramban says, no, you know what it means? Kaddish Atzma Chavibutala. Even in areas where you're allowed to engage in, such as Achilo, Shriya, Dibur. Should I eat excessively? Should I pop a guy out? Kala Yomaka Laila? Chas V'Sholom. That's a violation of Kaddish to you. Should I speak excessively? There are some people who are, don't stop. I have some of them. Not too distant from me. Not in this room, thank God. But they're not far. Anyway, so they don't stop. I'm about to provide a question to you. And even other areas, I'm not talking about speaking Lashon Hara and Rechila Esmat Yishema. That's also in Atera. But the areas of Dibur that are Mutar. But to go and just simply continue on and on and on, if you speak Dibur Torah and say that, I'd rather. So that's called doing something which is what? Not within the spirit of the law, even though it's within the letter of the law. You haven't violated the letter of the law. That's not the spirit of the law. Ramban gives many examples. Shabbos Seinu, another Ramban in Chumash. A third Ramban, Basis HaYashim HaTov. How do I know what is right, what's not right, what isn't right? Mishkan HaSidus. That's not easily acquirable. That takes, that's called what we call, what my Rebbe used to call, the fifth Shulchan Aruch. So I thought when I was a youngster, there were only four Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. I discovered there's a fifth. And that's the hardest to acquire. Seichel. Mishkan HaSidus. So before one takes the Chumrah, certainly one can take chumras upon themselves. And sometimes one should. You have to know what chumrah, what the nature of the chumrah is. Who am I to take chumras? Am I royal lekach? Do I do it in a public kind of context? Do I tell the whole world that I now follow this chumrah? I follow Rabbi Natan. The Mishnah Berurah says, Rabbi Natan's tefillin you should put on, but not publicly. There's a goyin in our Beis Medrash, more than one, who wears tefillin Rabbi Natan. There's even a guy in Abbas Medrash who wears tefillin, Chatzi Ayayim. Based on his Rebbe. A guy in Abbas Medrash also. So these Latzi are Tamil Chachamim who are Ruyim Lekach. But others wear Rabbi Natan tefillin privately. They don't do it publicly. A guy in Abdav Miller Shlita wears tefillin Rabbi Natan. You probably noticed. He does. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the end of his life, towards the end of his life, I don't know what point, but the last decade and a half of his life, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Olav HaSholom, sent him a pair of tefillin to wear, Rabbi Natan. And Rabbi Moshe started wearing it towards the end of his life. So that's a chumrah. Not required to be credit. Most of the Klal Yisrael does not wear tefillin Rabbi Natan, and they're wonderful people. This room, I don't think, I don't know of anyone, maybe I haven't seen you, Adi, maybe you wear tefillin Rabbi Natan. Okay, you wear tefillin Rabbi Natan, that's a, you're a Baal Madrega. You have to be exceptionally careful in general regarding tefillin. The Gemara said tefillin requires that one has to guard the tefillin with kushasa, le'yafiach b'ayim, le'ishamem, le'yimor tzukah, from a brachas, a few places of chas. You have to be very careful. But that's a Madrega, you're a Baal Madrega, that's a beautiful thing. People have asked me many times, but why don't I wear tefillin Rabbi Natan? I'm so distant from that, I'm not worried for anything. Halabaya should be the kind of mitzvah of tefillin properly, and halabaya should daven properly, and daven kabbana. I'm not saying you don't, chas v'shalom, you have to daven beautifully. And you're one of the... I once suggested to the Gabbai here that maybe I should daven in the Yom, and I hope to daven is Hashem the yahrzeit of my father's father, which I think is the middle of the week, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm afraid that night I probably won't sleep the whole night because I'm worried about getting here on time. That's where I'm holding now. I'm just shaking. Came out the entire month of it, the moment the other comes. But there's another problem. I don't want to be a tzibur tzibura, so I have to figure out how to do that. I'm not sure you're very good. You're down. You're like a phenomenon, like a Swiss watch. It's very beautiful, very didactic. I don't know if I can be some didactic, I'll try. Otherwise, if people have kindness of me, I'll probably start throwing me. They should over here. But anyway, chumras are not simple. Chumras means you want to go beyond the letter of the law. First, let's accomplish the letter of the law before we start getting to the spirit of the law. And halavai should all be echad abarpe v'echad amabi v'vad she'echad libo v'ashamayim.